If you love hurricanes, daiquiris, and, well, any rum cocktail, listen up. Captain Morgan's about to shake things up like never before. We're talking Bourbon Street, New Orleans, home to legendary drinks and unforgettable moments. But what if we told you the most iconic cocktails here have one thing in common? Hint? It's not bourbon. That's right, it's rum. And Captain Morgan is bringing unforgettable fun to Bourbon Street in a way you won't want to miss. Get ready for something big as we gear up for Super Bowl 59. Make sure to keep your eyes on NOLA's most iconic street. Who knows, Bourbon Street might just need a new name. Stay tuned for clues and get ready for the most legendary adventure yet. Please drink responsibly. Captain Morgan Original Spice Rum, 35% alcohol by volume. Captain Morgan Rum Company, New York, New York.
You're a startup founder. Finding product market fit is probably your number one priority. But to land bigger customers, you also need security compliance. Obtaining your SOC 2 or ISO 27001 certification can open those big doors, but they take time and energy, pulling you away from building and shipping. That's where Vanta comes in. Vanta is the all-in-one compliance solution helping startups get audit ready and build a strong security foundation quickly and painlessly. Vanta automates the manual security tasks that slow you down, helping you streamline your audit. The platform connects you with trusted experts to build your program, auditors to get you through audits quickly, and a marketplace for essentials like pen testing. So whether you're closing your first deal or gearing up for growth, Vanta makes compliance easy. Join over 8,000 companies, including Y Combinator and Techstars startups, who trust Vanta. For a limited time, get $1,000 off Vanta at vanta.com/simplify. That's VANTA.com/simplify for $1,000 off.
Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC studios, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Broadcasting veteran Derek Pearson.
When you find something that moves them, that makes them smile, celebrate it. That's your task. That's your superpower.
Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman.
Rifles a pass. It was tipped. It's picked off by Foreman. He's at the 15, 10, 5. He'll score!
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
That has more meaning today because one of the goats, one of the greats, left us this week. John Madden, the Raider. He is the Raider. They could have written this about, I mean, people say written about Al Davis. No, this was written about John Madden. Let's bring in Barry Thompson, Fairfax football coach. BT, what's happening, brother?
Hey, man, you're making me all emotional.
Right?
On top of John Madden, the whole thing, they play the Colts this Sunday. And the reason it gets even more emotional for me is one of the first professional games I ever saw.
Goes to the
post.
Was the Raiders
against the Colts in Old Memorial Stadium.
Goes to the post. One of the great football games that people don't talk about.
Yeah.
They had a series
that wasn't just the one you're talking about, but they had it going with the Colts.
Yeah.
There were some good games back in that time frame.
Yep, yeah.
But I was able to, little kid, sitting up there with some diehard. Now, didn't know the environment I was in, but, you know, looking back on that, was that old lovable, you know, working class Baltimore fans that were there, and I'm sitting right in the middle of them, and I'm a little Raider fan, and it was, you know, it was all good, you know, but a very memorable day. So I, as we go Sunday watching that game, regardless of the result. You know, it'll be a little emotional for me.
Yeah, this was the Stabler Branch, Dave Casper, Raiders with Upshaw and company against yeah. Burt Jones, Lytle Mitchell, Roger Carr, those folks, Glenn Dowdy.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Curtis and the old – you're right, the Colts were lovable. They were a lovable fan base. Natty Bo, you got to have your national
– Yeah, Johnny Lowenstein, hit it over that Natty Bo sign.
Yeah, you had to have your national Bohemian beer. And 33rd Street was special. Yeah, that's what that was. So as a coach, Madden's as good as they come, right? I mean, that's easy to say.
Yeah, you know, the as coaches, we all steal from everybody. And so, you know, I'm a little steeped in Raider lore. And at one point, I got curious about how would you handle, like, I don't know there's equivalent in today's thing of a rambunctious group of men. You know, how do you manage them? And one of the first coaching things I took is John Madden had, he said, I just had three simple rules, and I'm going to forget one of them. But it was to be on time and play like hell when I ask you to. I forget what the other one was. Right. And then he said he had this thing that he would say to the players that made no sense, but the players got all fired up about it. And it was, it doesn't matter if the mule driver is blind, just load the wagon.
Yeah.
And they would go crazy.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so, you know, I got a sense of kind of how to manage people that, you know, was different than I thought from a distance from John. And then, you know, of course we all watched him and somebody else categorized his life. He said it's, and there was a couple guys that kind of fit this bill this week. You know, forget Desmond Tutu. And, you know, we had a big political figure that passed, you know, but anyway, the commentator is making this remark about that he was accomplished in three different areas. You know, it's hard to rise to the level of notoriety and expertise in one area of life.
Mm-hmm.
But he did it as a football coach. He did it as a broadcaster. And he did it in the gaming industry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's quite a life.
And that's not even counting him as a player. Like, that's not even
yes. –
remember
yes.
that he was drafted by the Philadelphia Eagles, got hurt early in camp.
Right.
But then a part of the great Coryell, Gibbs, Madden coaching – pool
yes.
of guys who
yes.
did the work. I mean, this is a Cal Poly guy, and people don't know. John Madden was a collegiate varsity baseball player.
There you go.
Right? So, yeah. Like he was pretty exceptional. The three rules would be on time, pay attention, and play like hell when I tell you to.
There we go.
Right?
That was it.
Like through
that
all of that thing. And it's funny, too, right, that everybody who coached after John Madden has a bit of Madden in them.
Yes, and sticking with the Raiders, Tom Flores, who came immediately after, different outwardly in personality, much more of a low-key guy, still dealing with a cast of characters and egos. At one point, you know, he has Marcus Allen, he has Jim Plunkett, he has Kenny King, you know, all guys that have been around the upper echelons of football, and he quietly takes them to two Super Bowls.
Right?
Right?
Right. Well,
but he must have had a similar management style because those personalities were – the Raiders were out of control in those days.
Well, this was his quote amongst all quotes, the fewer rules a coach has, the fewer rules there are for players to break. Like he understood –
There you go.
Like he
there
understood, look, I can make this complicated if I want to. It's hard enough to get football players, elite football players, elite human beings, to play together on a level and then to not say – if I ask more of you, I will get less from you. Like he understood that. And you and I kind of, we've been in those rooms, so we understand what it sounds like and what it looks like. So from this standpoint, where would you put, is Madden top five coaches? Is he top 10? Where do you put him?
Listen, now you're not asking a coach on the radio. So
well, I'm asking you.
A fan. No,
I'm asking
listen,
you.
Listen.
I'm asking you.
He's the best coach ever.
right. Like I know.
I'm biased. Yeah, I'm biased. You can, you know, and my argument may not make any sense. I'm going to come back and then I go, no, I'm taking Madden. I'm taking Flores. I like what those guys did in the time frame that they did them with the athletes that they did them with. And those are my guys. You know, somebody else will have Belichick, and, you know, I can't deny his greatness. And somebody else will have Shula, and I can't deny his greatness. But those are my guys.
Well, you forgot Joseph and Vincent. Those two.
Yeah.
a quote from John Madden: a coach is just a guy whose best class in grammar school was recess, and whose best class in high school was PE. I never thought I was anything but a guy whose best class was PE. How amazing is that?
Yeah, no, it is. And, you know, Al Michaels had a comment about him, too. He said, you know, Madden traveled on that bus, talking about his popularity and maybe his sense of way to, as a broadcaster, way to speak to people. It must have been pretty innate from that quote, but it must have been reinforced by the way that he traveled, that he would stop in at places where nobody would expect him because, as he said, he didn't dine, he eats. You know, when it's time to eat, they stop and ate. And crisscrossing the country like that, it gets you and it keeps you in touch with different parts of this country, which is really great. And I'm sure that translated to how he spoke, because he knew exactly. You know, all our English teacher always told us, right, you write an essay, know your audience.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, he certainly knew his audience. And, you know, from that early quote, you can tie it together and see how he just built on what he already knew. And just an aside, you know, there's another West Coast coach who had three simple rules and won a lot, too, John Wooden.
Mm-hmm.
I'll feed you the quote, but I just ran across the other day. He said, I just have three rules.
Right now, get up to a $15 gift card after rebate when you purchase select SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
And they weren't very dissimilar. So anyway.
Yeah, no, it just, you lost, there's the personality, there's the icon, the business icon. There's the guy on the sideline during the Super Bowl as they're just thumping Minnesota. And you hear him praising his players at a high volume, and you understood why.
Yep.
Those guys. It's amazing. Another one of his quotes: "I'm not afraid of flying. I just fear I'm going to die. I think I'm vulnerable. I admit it. I don't fly. I got claustrophobia. I don't go in high buildings. I don't do those things. I'm just myself, whatever that is." And I thought, this is a guy who got it, and then they follow it with this. If you think about it, I've never had a job in my life. I went from being an NFL player to a coach to a broadcaster. I haven't worked a day in my life. Boy, if that isn't calling it what it is.
Yeah, yeah. They said the greatest philosopher ever lived is Popeye. I am what I am,
yeah.
Right? And, you know, and Dom was one of those guys. You know, Popeye would have been proud of him. I am what I am. And this is what I am, and I'll try to, you know, you give me something, I'll try to be good at it. And he did a good job of it.
And I love this one. He says, if someone remembers me as a coach, they still call me coach. But if they know me for a video game, they just call me Madden.
That's great. You know, something else, too, about him is, and this came from Al Michaels being interviewed, I guess Fox on Sunday ran a 90-minute piece on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this idea that, you know, give me my flowers while I'm alive. It's actually a line from a blues song. But this idea, give me my flowers while I'm living. It was so great, too, to lead that type of life and to see what other people kind of thought about him, you know, before he passed. I think that's a pretty cool little coda on his life as well.
They knew, and we're talking to Barry Thompson, Fairfax Football Academy, they knew where he was in life and what was going on. And, of course, them bringing back, you know, the All-Madden team, like that, mm-hmm. that All-Madden team. And mm-hmm. got to be there in D.C. when he presented. There were several Redskins who made that team. Mm-hmm. One of them, of course, being Gary Clark. The other one, being Art Alvin Garrett. He took one of the Smurfs. He loved one. You know, he said, "I got to have one of the Smurfs on this team." But how much of that was who we had to try to be at any of those positions were based on the All Madden team, guys who did things the right way, guys who played tough, guys who won and were successful. He checked all the boxes for his All-Madden team.
He did, but also those guys, all those guys, they had a ton of personality.
Yeah.
You know, they had a ton of personality. And, it, I often quote John Thompson because this stuff, but John would say, I'd rather calm a jackass than raise a corpse.
Yeah.
And so John knew, and I think really good coaches know, that I'm going to ask for that difficult personality to manage as long as it's tied to something that's productive, right? And so those guys want people to have personality. They want characters, and they do a good job of managing them. And that's, you know, when you look at John's record and you look at Belichick's record, and these coaches that have had a long, consistent stream of success, they are great managers of men. You know, you don't talk about John in terms of X and O's. I know Belichick gets a lot of credit for his strategies and these little tactical things, but understand he is a great manager of men, and that's what it takes to get this thing done. Phil Jackson, you know, is a manager of men. Red Auerbach, a manager of men. If you were ever to dig in the stories of the way they handled players, Jimmy Johnson, for his period of time, did a great job of managing men. Joe Gibbs, managing men. Parcells. It's not the X's and O's when you talk about these great coaches. It's really how they manage those talented players that they have.
How much of that is missed, Barry? You know, that development management. I mean, there's several lines, right, that this thing crossed. But whether it's, are you managing the men? Are you managing the women? Are you managing your other leaders, your other coaches? Sometimes it's managing the fan base, right, to get them on board with your message and your narrative and what you're trying to accomplish. What makes the best coach the best coach? Is it relationship with self, relationship with his coaching staff, relationship with his players, or his relationship with the fan base?
Well, the coach has got to be coming from a good place. He's got to be a good man. You know, he's got to be the type of person that smart, intelligent people want to follow or listen to, right? So it does start with the coach. But it's how that coach views it. I think I'll tell you two stories. I think Jimmy Johnson told a great story, which kind of illuminates that. You know, he said that he didn't treat everybody the same way, and people at the time, they kind of freaked out. And he gave the example. He said if Michael Irvin fell asleep in the front row during a film session, he would walk over quietly, gently pick his head up, and put a pillow underneath. He said, but if the kicker fell asleep in the thing, he would cut him. And people freaked out. But it's an idea that people aren't – you can treat them fairly, but they're not all equal, right? Red Auerbach had a great story and talk about managing personalities. He, with the old Celtics and Bill Russell and things like that, they were about to take this train ride. And he knew got all these tall guys. They're going to fight about who has the top bunk and who has the bottom bunk and which one's longer and which one's that. So he went through, he met the players, and he got off the train. So as the players come up, he's all there. And he says, I went through every single berth in this train. And it turns out that the bottom or the top bunk is an inch and a half, something like that, longer than the bottom bunk. They're all the same size. But it squashed all that, right? Now the players get on the train, and, you know, just like little things like that, right, that he has a sense of his guys, that they're about to do this simple task, he knows their personality, and he comes up with a solution that manages the whole group. I love those two stories, and I think good coaches, you know, do that. You saw in The Last Dance, you know, Phil let Dennis go be Dennis, right? But there was a way to corral and make sure that Dennis was, Don Madden's words, he would play like hell when he was told to. It just takes a special person to understand. It takes a special person for like Joe Gibbs to go out in the woods in Kansas and meet John Riggin, you know, while he's drinking a beer at 9 a.m. and say, I need you. Yeah. You know, those are special men.
Yeah, they get special results from it. So
they do.
So the all-time Madden team, you have two quarterbacks. You've got Joe Namath and Roger Staubach. Of course, Walter Payton is your running back. The receivers, I don't know. There's some guys that you can think of. Don Maynard, Paul Warfield. You got Mark Bavaro at tight end. Of course, you got Gary Clark. Your offensive line looks like you've got course, you had Mike Webster from the Steelers. You had Larry Little from the Perfect Dolphins. Jackie Slater, Joe Jacoby, and Anthony Munoz blocking for whoever Roger Staubach or Joe Willie Namath gave the ball to. It might have been the guy, Larry Zonka, directly behind him. He may have thrown on the other side to John Stallworth. He could have done that. And if you wanted to get into a scoring fest, I don't know, you're going to have to line up with the manster, Randy White. You had to buck up and have Jack Youngblood outside. Throw the ball if you want to. Rod Woodson, Michael Haynes are out there to track down whatever it is you're doing. He had old Willie Brown and Herb Adderley out there. And then, you know, if you need another tight end to throw to, he had John Mackey from the Colts. If you wanted to run the ball, guess what? He had some linebackers for you. Amongst them, you're going to have to run through from Richmond, Virginia, Willie Lanier, and old man Mike Curtis, who was so ornery that he once clotheslined a fan running on the field. Look, what John Madden did for all of us was pretty exceptional. If you're a fan of football, John Madden contributed. He kept contributing. And then when he left a legacy of all the great things that are football. And Raider stuff aside, and he is the Raider coach. I know Al Davis from heaven will probably reach down and say that he was. But John Madden was a coach's coach. He was a player's coach, and he was a fan's coach. And that's the part of it that makes him exceptional at everything he did. And he was, he was America's analyst. Like, there was nobody else like him, and we're going to miss him deeply. To close the new year, we've got to have a meal. What are we eating, kind sir?
Well, yeah, it's football. We're sitting around. There are two things that I made. I made something called banh xeo, which is banh is Vietnamese for sandwich, like banh mi. Banh xeo. Xeo means sizzle. But I think what we're going to do is we're going to make a great dish. It's called ahi, A-H-I, ahi, day, D-E, and it's aguacate. It may look like guacamole, but it's not, especially in Cartagena, Colombia. So what you're going to do to make this ají de aguacate is, in a food processor, you're going to put some vinegar. You're going to put some chopped onions. You'll put some spring onions. You'll put some cilantro. And we're going to put one, depending on your heat level, we're going to put one whole habanero in there. If you like less heat, you could get a half a habanero. If you like less heat than that, you can take the seeds out. But it's kind of like a pepper relish. We're going to give that a blend and kind of set that aside. Then in a separate bowl, we're going to take two avocados. And the avocados that you use, they have to be kind of firm. You don't want the real, real mushy one. They have to be a little firm. We're going to take a hard-boiled egg, you know, that's kind of chopped up, and we're going to mash the hard-boiled egg chopped up with those avocado in there. Once we get that kind of the consistency that we want, we're going to throw in some lime juice and a little bit of salt and pepper, and then we'll throw in the rest of the avocados. Because you're going to use two avocados total. Two halves will go in when you're doing the egg mixture, and then the other two will go in, and you kind of mix it around. Once you get that going, you take that chili relish that you made and you pour that into the avocado mix. You put another little, we're going to save one hard boil. You mix it all together. And then, just so people understand what they're getting, a little bit of diced tomato on the top and a little bit of diced, hard boiled egg on the top, so they can see, right, that this isn't normal guacamole. This dish, when you eat guacamole, most of the time it's great. It has a great mouthfeel. You eat this dish, it is a flavor party in your mouth.
Man. Well, we're going to have to share the picture. I just showed it to Nick. We're all in. Listen, brother, to you and yours, belated Merry Christmas. Have an amazing New Year. We'll talk to you next week. May have a different time for you, bro. But we'll talk to you next. We'll talk to you next week. Love to the family. Love what you do.
And let me say to everybody who tunes in and listens, and the guys that come before in this segment, I've enjoyed this immensely, and I wish everybody out there has a great, safe New Year's Eve and New Year's Day.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff all around. We'll throw it a break. Come back. Two more segments left in 2021. We'll close out, and we'll get a little bit more Nick in the fold when we come back.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with DP and Jay on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Shop Superstart Premium, Extreme, or Platinum Batteries at O'Reilly Auto Parts and get up to a $15 gift card after rebate. O'Reward members can also get a $5 reward with their battery purchase. For power, performance, and reliability, choose Superstart. Only at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.